And now, here is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. The King James Version of the Bible almost never uses words like stubborn, stubbornness, or stubbornly. In fact, some form of the word appears only 7 times in the King James. Most other versions use the word much more frequently than the King James Version. The New American Standard Bible uses some form of the word 32 times. The English Standard Version uses the word 33 times, and some other versions use the word even more. I have given you these figures to prepare you for our lesson today on stubbornness. Webster's Third New International Dictionary defines the word stubborn as follows: unreasonably or perversely unyielding in character or quality. It lists as synonyms pig-headed and mulish. Webster's Dictionary of Synonyms gives other synonyms: obstinate, stiff-necked, and bull-headed. Tragically, some people will call you stubborn or bull-headed or worse if you stand fast in your beliefs. Even if people call us stubborn or pig-headed, when we will not compromise our convictions, we must remain steadfast in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Paul commanded the Corinthians, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." 1 Corinthians 15:58. Watch, stand fast in the faith, behave as men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. The New American Standard Bible uses the word stubbornness 8 times in Jeremiah alone. I shall read some of those verses and add the word stubbornness where the King James Version uses a different word. "But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil or stubborn heart, and went backward, and not forward." Jeremiah 7:24. That verse constitutes a good definition of stubbornness. This evil or stubborn people, who refuse to hear my words, who walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. Jeremiah 13:10. "They say still unto them who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say everyone that walks after the imagination, or follows stubbornly his own heart, no evil shall come upon you." Jeremiah 23:17. In many biblical contexts, the word stubborn is not used, but it is evident from the text that the people of God were stubborn. The book of Jeremiah furnishes an excellent example. Many of the people were greedy for unjust gain. The prophets and the priests, leaders among the children of Israel, dealt falsely. Jeremiah accused the leaders of superficially healing the Israelites by assuring them they would have peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not ashamed, neither could they blush. "Therefore they shall fall among them who fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down," says the Lord. Please take careful note of the Lord's instructions to the Israelites. "Stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest to your souls." But they said, "We will not walk therein." Jeremiah 6:13-16. If these words had come from Jeremiah as a man, and not as God's prophet, we could understand why the Jews refused to walk in the old paths. After all, what could be so valuable about walking in old paths? Would it not be more profitable to walk in new paths? This stubborn attitude of the Jews resulted in their being exiled in Babylon for 70 years. If they had repented of their sins and turned to the Lord for forgiveness, He would have forgiven them and kept His people from going into Babylonian exile. Over and over, the prophets, beginning with Isaiah, warned the nation of impending danger. The Israelites paid no attention to the great prophets of God. They were stubborn and hard-hearted. God promised His people through Jeremiah, "Also I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet." But they said, "We will not pay attention." Jeremiah 6:17. How hard-hearted and stubborn God's children can be sometimes. Ezekiel, one of the prophets of the exile, spoke at length of the need for the nation to have good watchmen, not to stand on the walls of Jerusalem, but to warn of spiritual dangers facing the nation. One example will have to suffice. God told Ezekiel, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me." If the prophet failed to give warning, the people would die, and God would hold the prophet accountable for their death. If the people paid no attention to the prophet, they would die, but the prophet would have delivered his own soul. Ezekiel 3:17-21. The date 9/11 will live in infamy for many generations to come. How foolish all Americans would have been had we known the tragedy that was coming and did nothing about it. There is hardly any doubt we should have known, but many individuals in places of leadership failed the American people. They were not careful enough and did not warn our nation. But what if you know someone is going to attack your home or your business, and you say to those who warn you, "Do not bother me about such matters. I am not going to listen to you." Would people be so stubborn about their personal property? About 150 years before the Babylonian exile, the Lord gave Isaiah this message, "Now go, write it before them in a tablet, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits, get out of the way, turn aside out of the path, and cause the Holy One in Israel to cease from before us." Isaiah 30:8-10. You can readily understand that the Jews of Isaiah's generation had no intention of listening to the message God had given to the prophets. What a tragedy that those who claim to love God often care nothing about His Word, especially if the Word runs contrary to what they want to do. God commanded King Saul to lead the Israelite army against Amalek. God's command was not that difficult to understand. "Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare not. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." 1 Samuel 15:3. Saul almost obeyed the Lord's command. He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, and of the fatlings and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they utterly destroyed. 1 Samuel 15:8-9. Let us do some reasoning on this incident. God demanded that His people offer animal sacrifices to Him. It was expensive for the Israelites to take their own flocks and herds to offer as sacrifices. We know God would not accept the cripple, the sick, and the diseased. The Israelites knew that and destroyed all that was despised and worthless. But what could possibly be wrong with keeping the best of the sheep, of the oxen, of the fatlings, of the lambs, and all that was good? Surely it would be better to offer those animals as sacrifices than to waste them. As a matter of fact, it was not better. Samuel explained the situation to King Saul. "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft or divination, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has rejected you from being king. 1 Samuel 15:22-23. The King James Version uses the word stubbornness of King Saul. The English Standard Version uses the word presumption instead of stubbornness. The New American Standard Bible translates the Hebrew insubordination. These words give us insight into the attitude of Saul and of the Israelites. They could have invented Frank Sinatra's song, "I Did It My Way." They were like people during the days of Jeremiah who said to God, "Forget about the old paths. We will not walk in them. You can appoint watchmen to warn us, but we will pay no attention to them." Jeremiah 6:16-17. Every man who refused to obey God's commands was guilty of stubbornness. For example, God gave Cain and Abel specific instructions about the kind of sacrifice he would accept. We know he provided the information they needed for their worship to be acceptable in his sight, or he would not have rejected Cain's offering. Besides, the author of Hebrews wrote, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks." Hebrews 11:4. Since faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17, there can be no question God gave Cain and Abel the information they needed to worship him acceptably. We do not know how Cain reasoned about the offering the first fruits of the soil, but we know his failure to follow God's word shows how stubborn he was in doing his own will, not God's. Time will not allow an examination of the lives of Nadab and Abihu, of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, of some of the ancient Israelite kings, such as Ahab, Manasseh, Jeroboam I, and Jeroboam II. All of these men and many others exemplified a streak of stubbornness. We also could profit by studying what the Old Testament says about the Egyptian Pharaoh, who was in power when Moses and Aaron were appointed to lead the Israelites from Egyptian bondage to freedom in Canaan. But I plan to spend the remainder of our time today examining the stubbornness of some modern people. Everybody knows gambling wrecks individual lives, destroys homes, poisons the atmosphere in our communities, and corrupts politicians. We regularly read of criminal activities relating to gambling, legal as well as illegal gambling. We also know that gambling creates addicts and leads to suicide in many cases. In fact, Las Vegas may be the suicide capital of the United States. But politicians and others are so stubborn or immoral or both, they will use whatever ruse they can invent to legalize gambling and to seduce people into spending their hard-earned money on gambling. So what if a few children go hungry so their parents can try to get rich on gambling? It is supposed to make the states more prosperous and decrease the taxes we Americans must pay. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. The same stubborn attitude prevails in reference to beverage alcohol. Liquor manufacturers have sprung up all over the country. There is enough whiskey, beer, rum, wine, and other liquors to make everyone in the United States drunk many times over. But so long as the liquor manufacturers and the states are making money, who cares about the damage alcohol does to our citizens? Just read your daily newspaper or watch the evening news if you have any doubt about the devastating effects of all liquors. Young people and old, about 50 of them, die daily on America's highways because someone had little enough sense to drink and drive. Oftentimes drinkers abuse their wives and children because alcohol has dulled their senses. If those men were sober, they would not think of abusing anyone, but beverage alcohol adversely affects their judgment. If you think I might be exaggerating the situation, please listen to King Solomon. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has babbling? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? they that tarry long at the wine, they who go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it gives his color in the cup, when it moves itself aright. At the last it bites like a serpent, and stings like an adder. Your eyes shall behold strange women, and your heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, you shall be as he who lies down in the midst of the sea, or he who lies upon the top of a mast. Proverbs 23:29-34. One would think that intelligent people would learn what alcohol does and avoid it as they would a serpent. But those who make strong drink and those who sell it are stubborn because of the money involved. The drinkers are stubborn because strong drink makes them stubborn. As Shakespeare says, they put into their mouths that which takes away their brains. According to King Solomon, the drinkers may say, "They have stricken me, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." Proverbs 23:35. Alcohol is the most addictive drug men regularly use. Breaking the drinking habit is not easy, but it can be done. Stubbornness is only one, and maybe not even the main factor in keeping men and women slaves to liquor. Tragically, there are millions of Americans and others who are too stubborn to investigate the evidences of Christianity. They are so committed to a materialistic worldview, they will not even consider that Christianity just might be true and the answer to man's moral and spiritual problems. That stubborn attitude was unquestionably present in the first century. One example from the book of Acts will illustrate what I mean. The apostles Peter and John healed a lame man at the beautiful gate of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. The Jewish authorities arrested the apostles and put them in prison. Was there any doubt the apostles had performed a genuine miracle? The Jewish council asked, "What shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Acts 4:16. How can intelligent men and women witness a genuine miracle and not investigate what it means? Since the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem could not deny that a notable miracle had been done, why did they not embrace the gospel of Christ? They had to know that God alone could be responsible for a genuine miracle. Could stubbornness explain their unwillingness to confess Christ and to obey the gospel? Please take note of Paul's criticism of the Jewish Christians at Rome. "But after your hardness and impenitent heart, you are treasuring up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Romans 2:5. The New American Standard Bible uses the word stubbornness instead of the word hardness. The author of Hebrews uses the word hard in speaking of the attitude of the Jews during their time in the wilderness. Please listen. "Harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Hebrews 3:8, 9, 12, and 13. The Greek word translated hard, skleruno, is not usually translated stubborn, but hardness and stubbornness are double first cousins. On one occasion, Jesus spoke about the greatness of John the Baptist, "And all the people who heard him and the tax collectors justified God, being baptized of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him." Luke 7:29-30. Were the Pharisees and lawyers just being stubborn? When Paul appeared before King Agrippa to answer the unfounded charges the Jews had brought against him, he said to the king knows about these things, that is, about the coming of Jesus Christ and the work he had done. He affirmed, "I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner." He then asked King Agrippa, "Do you believe the prophets? I know you believe. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Acts 26:26-28. There is no evidence King Agrippa ever confessed Christ and obeyed the gospel. Was he being stubborn in rejecting the gospel? Would to God that every person who hears the gospel would respond as did many of the Corinthians. Paul preached in the synagogue in Corinth that Jesus was the Christ, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Acts 18:5-8. The Corinthians serve as a wonderful example for honest men and women in every age. If you are not a Christian, will you imitate the example of the Corinthians? Will you this very day confess your faith in Christ and be baptized for the remission of your sins? Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.